opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And here we are again for the 111th time on the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, your host. Thank you for taking the trouble and finding how to download and listen to the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm listening to people every week that seem to discover the show and tell me about it, and it's a lot more fun that way. I was out on the town a lot this week, going to networking events in J-Town and one in, where was that other one? Just a couple of really interesting networking events. I just got back from a Greater Louisville Inc. event down at the Mercury Ballroom. So for those of you tuning in for the first time, this is the show about the most interesting people in the Ville. I always have two guests a week that come from a different part or interesting aspect of my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky. This week, it's a really good show. First up, I'm going to have the police chief here in Jeffersontown, Rick Sanders, who's a fascinating individual. I'm looking forward to sharing my interview with him on the show. And in the second half of the show, please stay tuned, because I have a Mo McKnight Howe, who operates the Revelry Boutique and Gallery down in Nulu. She's cool, and she's into art, and that's sort of thing that I'm interested in, things that go on around town. I was asked this week about the show and whether I confine myself to any sort of area or interest group or for guests, and the answer is certainly no. I've had artists, politicians, athletes, businessmen, entrepreneurs, government officials, anything you can think of on the show, and it's just a labor of love. I really like meeting people and talking to them and doing these interviews. So that's what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about, and one of the ways we pay for things around here at the Rusty Satellite Show is through our sponsors, and one of our favorite sponsors is Snelling Staffing, and Snelling Staffing sponsors the Job of the Week right here in Louisville, Kentucky. If you are looking for a job, or if you are an employer looking for an employee, I suggest you give a call to Snelling Staffing. They can find the people. I tell you, and certainly a few friends of mine, people I know, have gotten jobs through Snelling Staffing. It's not just a temp firm. And here's this week's Snelling Staffing Job of the Week. The engineering division over there is currently recruiting an electrical controls engineer. That's my old job. I used to do that, but no, I'm just kidding. I don't do anything mechanical. But here you go. This candidate will be responsible for design of controls and wiring for conveyor products. Support the electrical technicians in the assembly shop, troubleshoot customer issues over the phone, purchase electrical controls components, keeping electrical drawings up to date, creating operation maintenance manuals, as well as traveling to customer site to provide on-site field support. You must have, to get this great job, an associate's degree in electrical engineering, 3 to 5 years with industrial controls, PLC programming experience using AutoCAD to create electrical drawings and schematics, experience with Microsoft Word, Excel, and Outlook. Now, really, that's an essential for any job these days. Experience with PLC software, Allen Bradley RS Logic experience with Altavar and Mitsubishi VFD is a plus. There you go. So if you are interested in this job or know someone who is, let's get a hold of Erica over there at Snelling Staffing, 814-9800. That's 502-814-9800. Well, anyway, we got a lot to get to in the show. I'm very excited about introducing you to Rick Sanders and Mo McKnight Howe and talking about some of the things that are going on in Louisville, Kentucky this week. But let's get right to it. First up, I want to tell you, I went right down the street, the Jeffersontown police station. It's right down the street from me. I went down there, been wanting to get Chief Sanders on the show for a long time. He's really great. So listen up. Here's my interview with Chief Sanders.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Today I'm in an interesting place, a former skating rink in Jeffersontown with Police Chief Rick Sanders. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me.
I've known you several years, but I just learned some of the interesting parts of your background. You've been police chief here in J-Town since 2007, but a long career in law enforcement. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I started my career in 1973 as a Jefferson County police officer and rode the south end of Dixie Highway, which is where I'm from originally, and then went into the Detective Bureau where I worked narcotics and homicide. And then I flew a county police helicopter for 4 years as well. And then in 1983, I applied both with DEA and the FBI, and DEA called me very quickly, and I went through the process and was hired by DEA. At the time, I told my wife I'd applied to be a DEA agent. She said, what's a DEA agent? So they were still relatively new, and I spent almost 25 years with DEA and had 7 transfers within the United States, worked in Chicago, Miami, D.C., Dallas, all over. And then in 2007, I learned of Chief Romley's retirement here in J-Town, and I didn't know any. Well, I knew one guy on this police department, and I called the mayor at that time and introduced myself to him. I actually wrote him a letter, and he interviewed me. And the next thing I know, I'm being called by Chris Ottz asking me about my new job. I didn't even know I had the job at that point. So it happened very quickly. I retired from DEA on a Sunday night and became chief Monday morning.
And so it's great to come home again. A lot of folks don't go away that long, but it seems like a lot of people have that story of leaving and making your mark and coming home again. So
I had a great career with DEA and all the moves, but it's really good to be home again. This is a great community.
Yeah. Yeah, J-Town, it seems like I know it's a significant police department. You can tell me how many officers you got and everything, but you tell me, is there a lot of crime in J-Town comparable to other places?
It depends upon what you're comparing it to. Compared to the city of Louisville, absolutely not. We don't have the Part 1 crimes that they have in Louisville. Our biggest issue is with burglary, larceny, theft from autos, and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have, and this year has been kind of interesting, we have had a couple of homicides here in J-Town, and that's not typical for Jefferson Town. We have a very safe community and one that we're very proud of. But we do deal occasionally. The one that you might remember was a young man who was living with a foster parent who here in J-Town, for whatever reason, repeatedly stabbed him to death and killed his foster father.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that guy was very popular at the high school as a teacher.
Yeah.
And then we had a domestic where a person caught his estranged wife walking out of a dance parlor and shot and killed her.
Yeah.
But that's not a typical day in J-Town.
Yeah. Well, I know, just quickly, I remember the story, I guess it was several months ago, about the guy who the J-Town police chased all over town, right?
Yes.
And he was
out on Dixie Highway.
Yeah.
We finally caught the guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
Interestingly, I was hired in February of 2007, and then you may also remember in June of 2007 is when we had the retired officer involved in a shooting at the Kroger parking lot.
Right, I remember that.
I'd only been here 4 months, and I laughed because I used to tell my friends at DEA, I said, man, this is a great job. I've landed in Mayberry, and then we had that shooting, and I called my buddies back in D.C. and said, Mayberry's on crack. So it got busy real quickly.
Well, That brings me to the subject I want to talk about. I know you've got all this experience outside of J-Town in law enforcement, and it seems to me with the police being in the media constantly, and it was a big part of the news, and your experience in DEA, this drug problem, especially with heroin, is that driving a lot of the, it seems to me it is. It's driving a lot of the crime. The crimes people just need a little bit of money.
Sure, it absolutely is driving a lot of it. And I think the violence that we see in Louisville, a lot of that is driven by drug activity for a myriad of reasons. We now in this community have a real appetite for heroin. And I think the reason for that is these people were hooked on pain pills, and the legislators and law enforcement, we all did what we thought was right, and we put great restrictions on pain pills. And these people are opium addicted, and they had to have something. So they right. then went to heroin.
And that's not, you know, because I've talked to people that deal with that drug activity, that's, you know, some people might assume that's just confined to the West End or confined to a different downtown, different parts of the city. I'm sure you see it out here in J-Town.
Absolutely. And I just had a meeting a couple hours ago about this particular topic, and it's affected this police department. I've had members of this police department lose family members to heroin overdoses. So it's near and dear to our hearts. It's not a urban city problem. It's everywhere. And you know, I was actually the agent in charge of the office in Chicago for DEA for 5 years, and we dealt with heroin every day. That was our drug of choice in Chicago. But we've never really had an appetite for heroin here in Louisville. We always mm-hmm. dealt with other drugs, but right. now the heroin epidemic is just it's phenomenal, and we're all scratching our heads trying to figure out what we need to do to try to solve this problem. And to your point, many of the robberies, the burglaries, the thefts are all driven by heroin addiction.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to talk about one other big issue for police that's in the news mm-hmm. a lot. And I know the city, they get a lot more publicity. They're the bigger department and all that, but the body camera issue, in light of a lot of some of these national stories, it seems like everybody's getting body cameras, and you were telling me even J-Town has now gone to that.
Yeah. Right? Interestingly, I was looking into body cameras before Ferguson. I'm a big proponent of body cameras, because I think it's going to show what the police are doing right as opposed mm-hmm. to what we're doing wrong. And look, I'm a realist. We make mistakes. We need to you know, handle those mistakes, retrain, prosecute, whatever we need to do. But the majority of the time, 98% of the time, our cops are doing what they should do. And I think these cameras are going to show that. They're going to help in prosecuting defendants. They're going to help in minimizing complaints, because if it's on audio and video, there it is. Yeah. Either did it or you didn't. And I think it's going to make both police officer and citizen much more responsible if they know they're being taped. So yeah. I'm a big believer in them. This department, I was telling you, I have 53 officers total. Of those, 38 are in uniform riding the streets. We have already bought 16 cameras, and we actually went above and beyond. We bought the body camera and the dash cam camera. So they're going to be working in concert to film the traffic stop and what happens after the stop when they're out of the car. So we're spending a lot of money to do it mm-hmm. right, and I appreciate the fact that our city council is supportive. We've already purchased 16 body cameras and in-car cameras. We're using them as we speak. Still working out a few bugs, and but I'm a big proponent. But a lot of people don't understand there are privacy issues that we have to work out as well. Mm-hmm. And this is the example that I always use. If my wife and I've been fortunately been married 38 years, and if my wife and I get into a domestic issue tonight, and she or I call the police and they come to my house, and my neighbor sees the police at my house, and the next day they file an open records request for what happened at my house. I mean, is that something we want out in the public?
Right.
Or if we have a victim of a sexual abuse and we're interviewing that person, is that something that's subject to open records? And these are the kinds of things we as police officers are having to work through, when the legislature should be working through those and giving us those answers, or the attorney general.
Well, I think a lot of people don't realize that the nature of the open records laws, which are that any citizen can file a request.
Absolutely.
And get whatever they want. So yeah. I think you know, that's an interesting aspect of this whole issue. I got one other topic I want to ask you about, and that's really because I think I heard you on local radio 6 months back or whenever it was. Mm-hmm. We had the problems downtown with the sort of riots at the bridge and all mm-hmm. that, and it really comes into question. I think the thing police deal with all the time is race, mm-hmm. and I don't know what the percentage of non-whites here out here in J-Town is, but mm-hmm. I mean, you must have to give your guys training and deal with the issue of race all the time.
We do, Rick, and I'll be honest. I think during my tenure as a police officer, I think we've come a long way to eliminate a lot of racial issues and racial tensions. But for whatever reason, as of late, I think we're doing a 180. We're going back to dividing our community. You know, police officers, and Derwin Webb and I, we were on a WHAS radio discussing this very issue, you know, I Derwin is an African American attorney. I've dealt with him professionally. He and I are friends. He was explaining that, you know, he has to talk to his children to explain to them how to deal with being stopped by the police. And I interrupted him and I said, Derwin, with all due respect, I have that same conversation with my children, uh-huh. and we're white, so we really need to take color out of it. And people just need to do the right thing, whether that be a police officer, a Catholic priest, a judge, a lawyer, whomever. You know, hold everyone accountable. And if you have, you know, one police officer that's demonstrating racism, then deal with it and mm-hmm. deal with it harshly. But don't paint every cop with the same brush. Most of us are not racist. Most of us don't come to work every day figuring out how we're going to mess with the minority. We just don't do that.
Right.
But again, I think personally the racial tension today is worse than it's been in 40 years.
Sure.
And I thought we were making great progress to eliminate color.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think that I think partially because of all these stories that are national stories or even local stories that focus on it. I mean, when a big story like what happened downtown Louisville happens out there, does it have ramifications out here in J-Town?
Sure it does. And again, the media plays a role in that. I mean, it sells, and they show it over and over and over again. And that's why I like to illustrate when police officers do a great job, because most of the time we do. You know, as an example, the shooting down in South Carolina where the white officer shot the black person in the back several times as mm-hmm. he was running away, there's no excuse for that. The cop has been, should be, will be prosecuted, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But they show it over and over and over again. And you know what? Of all the arrests we make every year, very, very few of them are a result of overzealous policing, racial issues. Very, very few of them.
Okay.
But we keep talking about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to wrap it up here, but mm-hmm. we got we're in J-Town. Let's talk about the Gaslight Festival.
Sure.
That's coming up. Is that a big issue for the police? There's a lot of people down here in J-Town.
You know, I look forward to it. It's a fun time for everybody in Jefferson Town, but we have to put off our officers out there on the street, especially on Friday and Saturday night. We've got a lot of people. We have probably upwards to 10,000 people in and around the square. So we want everybody to come here and have a great time and behave themselves and not get hurt or not get in trouble. That's the thing. I've been doing it now for this will be my eighth Gaslight, and I look forward to them. They're a lot of fun.
Well, you've already retired once. How much longer can we expect to have you?
You know what? I still have some life in me. I'm naive enough to think that I really do make a difference, and I love my profession. I've been doing it a long time. I think I'm pretty good at it, and I've gotten blessed to have a great department here. We hire and we recruit and hire some of the best in the business, and Chief Conrad will tell you I've stolen several good ones from him. So we've got some good people here.
All right. Well, good. Well, thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show, Chief, and I look forward to, you know, I live right down the street. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks.
big thank you to Chief Rick Sanders for sharing a few minutes with me down there at the police station at J-Town. I'm glad to go there as a interviewer, I guess, so to speak. A couple of years ago, I was a big-time blogger and exposed. The guy who hired Rick Sanders was Clay Foreman, and he was a... No, I can't sugarcoat anymore. A sort of corrupt mayor. A lot of people gave me a lot of grief for writing about that at that time. I'm hoping that everybody in J-Town has sort of forgiven me and figured out I was just doing a job then and didn't have anything against them. Hint, hint. I think, actually, the LouisvilleKY.com and Rusty Satellite Show are going to be members of the J-Town Chamber of Commerce in the very near future. And so that's a great thing. I saw my, well, here's a funny story. At the Gaslight Festival kickoff luncheon that was just held today, I was there, and it was almost time for the show to start, but I had to go to the restroom. I went in there and pulled up a urinal next to the mayor, and so I knew that the show wasn't going to start without him. So I was safe. You know, Mayor Bill Dariff is a great guy, and I really love living here in J-Town. Right down the street from the police station, it's a wonderful thing. If you ever want to stay at my place, I rent my home on Airbnb, and you can look that up online, and it's all good things. So that's the part of the show I talk a little bit about what's going on in the city, the things that are catching my eye in the news. And, you know, it's sort of a slow time of year. Politically, things really get cranked up after Labor Day. These are what's known as the dog days of August. So you get stories like this one that the city is cracking down on jaywalkers. I kid you not. There was a story in the Courier Journal about jaywalking, and there's a crackdown. There's a crackdown in the city. Metro Police have been giving warnings to jaywalkers at intersections throughout the city, and you can get fined from $20 to $100 if you get caught jaywalking in the wrong place. So it's a good thing, you know, I don't walk around down there. That's it's just a funny story. It's the kind of thing that comes up, I guess, this time of year. It's a stretch, but anyway, that was just sort of a story that caught my eye. It was kind of funny this week. There's a lot going on in town, and you know, having done 111 of these Rusty Satellite shows, a lot of times I can fill up the news portion of the show with just news about people who have been on the show. And certainly, I ran into several this week. I had a lot going on this week. I was just down at a GLI Enterprise Corporation event where Kent Euler, ex-Rusty guest, was the main speaker. I ran into Stacy Griggs, who runs a technology company called El Toro down there, and he's a really great guy. That company is taking off. El Toro, very impressive that a company of that size got its start in Louisville. Also, if you remember, just from last week, those of you with short memories, just last week, Linda Rufinack and Bruce Corwin, they had a wonderful event down there at a place called Pasolino's downtown. Bruce runs the Bourbon Brotherhood. Linda's in charge of Whiskey Chicks. They had this great event. I wish I could have made it, but I didn't. But they tell me they raised $18,000 for Best Buddies, the charity that was chosen for this event. So what a big success story that was. And really happy to share the news about the Bourbon Mixer. I hope that they have it again next year and I get a chance to go. So anyway, that was a big story. You know, just continuing on with people that have been on the show. If you saw the announcement, one of the greatest events in the city, the Ironman Triathlon, is renewed for like five more years. And Carl Schmidt is the director of the Louisville Sports Commission. He was on the show, and that's a big event for Louisville. That's big news for the city. And you know, it's coming up pretty soon. The Ironman Triathlon. It starts down there at the waterfront, and they go all the way out to Oldham County on their bikes. It's a big event. I know I'm never going to make it in an Ironman. I did go to the doctor this week, and those of you that follow me on Facebook know that I hesitated whether to do this or not, but I shared my x-ray to show you exactly how bad my ankle is after 30 years of playing racquetball on it. It's jacked up, as they like to say, but Dr. Quill is my doctor, and he is promising me that this ankle fusion surgery is going to solve some of my problems, and not promising that I'll get back on the racquetball court, but in November I'm going to undergo some ankle surgery and hope to get back to being a lot more active other than just playing golf, which I've been doing. You know, I wrote a story on LouisvilleKY.com, my roundup of the week last week. You should check it out. I made the point that if you're around people who play golf, they like to tell you about their rounds and what happened and all that. And I'm so hesitant to tell people about what happened when I went out on the golf course. I do like to play golf. I've been playing a lot lately because, you know, I'm trying to fill up that space that used to be used for racquetball. I did, you know, you can call me if you want to hear about it, but I did shoot the best score of my life, an 82 out at South Park Country Club with Mark Hebert, Gary Manns, John Dries. They all saw it. That's like 5 strokes better than I've ever done before. It was a great afternoon. And so that's golf. Guess who else, though, was down at the GLI Enterprise Corporation event? None other than Dawn Yankee Love. She introduced me to a guy named Paul Cummings. If you get a chance on Thursday and Friday, the Tech Fest event is going on down here. A few weeks ago, I had Dave Mattingly on the show to talk about the Tech Fest. Dawn is basically the organizer of the event. She was a long time ago a reporter at Business First, just like I was. And she, that's a big event. There's a lot of big names in town for the Tech Fest. It's a big event this week. So I would certainly encourage you to go to, if you're interested in technology of any kind, get down there and see that. And I wish just so I could vote, I wish I lived over in New Albany. If you've been keeping up, Roger Baylor was on the show a few weeks ago. He is running for mayor in New Albany. He was in the news because he's selling his business. And he's really a beer guy, and he's selling his business in New Albany to concentrate pretty much on running for mayor. And you know, I got a feeling that he's gonna happen. He's got a chance to win, and I'm for him, and I wish I could go over there and vote for him. So anyway, pay attention if you're interested in local politics. Roger Baylor's campaign for mayor is making some news. The New Albany and Brewing Company that he's run for many years, he's getting out of that business. So, you know, there's another Rusty Satellite guest doing something important and exciting in this city. So what else? Let's just get on with Mo McKnight Howe. Mo is the third member of her family to appear on the Rusty Satellite Show. Let me get all these family relations straight. Her brother, J.K. McKnight, started Forecastle, and he was one of my first guests on the show. J.K. has certainly made a name for himself and put Louisville on the map with the Forecastle Festival. That's a great thing. And then a few weeks ago, also related to Forecastle, J.K.'s wife and Mo's sister, Holly McKnight, was on the show, and she was a delightful guest and talking about Forecastle, and it was a great success this year. If you got a chance to go out there and see some of the great bands that were at Forecastle, I certainly did. And so now I got an email the other day that said that the Revelry Gallery that is run by Mo McKnight Howe is now 5 years old, and they're having a big event this weekend. I encourage you to go down there. More than 100 local artists are represented at the gallery. It's very successful. They made a move to Nulu a couple years ago. They were over there by the Lynn's Paradise Cafe, and Lynn's Paradise Cafe closed, and things, you know, that part of town is still recovering from that. But down in Nulu, Revelry is thriving. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. You can't go in there and not want to buy something. And Mo's got a fascinating story about just being interested in art at an early age. We got interrupted in the interview by her father, and he's one of my favorite people in the world. Kelly McKnight came in. Kelly's a former advertising executive and now retired, and is just a delightful guy, fun guy to hang around. And so I was happy to allow him to interrupt our interview and say a few words. So pay attention to this one. Here's my interview with Mo McKnight Howe.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right, the Rusty Satellite Show today is with Mo McKnight Howe at the Revelry Gallery. How are you, Mo?
I'm doing great. Feeling great.
Good. Well, this is what a fun place this is. This gallery, I understand, is turning 5.
Yes.
Is this little 5-year-old is incorrigible, hard to manage, all that stuff, just like any?
Actually, it's more of a grown-up now. Yeah, it started as a baby, and I've been watching it grow and evolve, and now that we've moved down to Nulu, I feel like it's actually like a grown-up.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of cool stuff in here. I don't know a lot about art, but I know what I like and what's cool, and there's a lot of cool stuff here. Tell me your history and how you got into this.
all of 5 years ago? Because you're like, what, 18 now?
Almost 30. I'm 29. But yeah, I mean, I went to art school at U of L. I've always, you know, wanted a career in the arts since I was a little kid. I knew I wasn't going to work a 9-to-5 and be stuck in a cubicle. I knew that from a very young age that I wanted to be immersed in the art world. And so got a scholarship to U of L's Height Art Institute and chose to stay home because I wanted to be around all my local awesome creatives. And then graduated and started this place with Paula Weiler, who has since gone, moved to New York. But she had her business degree. She had her MBA. I had my art degree. So together we were like, all right, you do the business, I'll do the art. And we took care of each other.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, now I've got to mention this because I know you talk about growing up, and I know your dad real well. So was he the reason you didn't want to do 9-to-5? Or?
Yeah, I think growing up, my dad worked at Price Weber, and they were like a big ad agency, and he worked all the time, and I never really got to see him, and I didn't really get to see my dad and who he was, and I didn't see him happy until he started his own business.
Yeah,
and he did it a lot later in life, and one of his biggest regrets was, I wish I would have done this a long time ago. And so I think that's why both like my brother and I went into business for ourselves, just because we saw my dad working just all the time, never getting to spend time with us. And so it was cool to, you know, grow up around Price Weber, because I got to, like, you know, see professional photo shoots, and I got to, you know, meet Julius Friedman when I was 8. And so I did get to see a lot of amazing art and artists growing up in the advertising industry, but I also got to see what it takes out of you. So that's why I knew I wanted to go into business for myself.
Yeah, well, what a family. I mean, Kelly, I'm sure he's very proud. Your brother's kind of made a name for himself, too.
Yeah, he's all right. Some people know him around here. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he started Forecastle, and it was just a dream when, you know, he was in his early 20s, and now it's huge, and it's internationally known, and he's done a great job, and we're all really proud of him.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's anybody else in your family, because, you know, I've had JK, and I've had your sister-in-law Holly on, and you. So who else in the McKnight clan should I have on the show?
I don't know, besides my parents. They're kind of responsible for all this, I guess.
Yeah, I so. Major the dog, he doesn't talk much, does he?
No, he doesn't really talk too much. He does a really good job selling art and just being cute.
Okay. Well, we're down here in Nulu. Let's talk about that a little bit. It's seems like you didn't start out here. Right, and you came down here, and what's that meant to you?
I really did not see the business flourish the way it has until I moved to Nulu, and it was a big jump. I mean, we were on Baird Avenue, and we were thinking about closing. It was bad. After Lynn's Paradise Cafe closed, we just did not think, you know, that we were going to survive, and we decided, okay, it's sink or swim. We're going to close up shop, or we're going to make a big move, and we're going to triple our space, and we're going to triple our rent, and we're going to go big or go home. And my husband, who is a commercial real estate agent, Scotty Howe, he heard that Scout was moving out. And so he's like, there's this really cool space. I don't know if we can afford it. And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's just try it out. You know, I have to go out fighting.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. And since we moved to Nulu, it has just been night and day. I mean, it's been so great for me. It's been so great for my artists are making just, you know, steady paychecks every month. We get so much tourism down here. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I banked on with having Lynn's next to me at the Barrett location.
Sure.
And, you know, when the tour buses stopped pulling up, I was like, oh, I'm screwed. So it was great when I came down to Nulu because I got those tourists back. And we get so many tourists in here, which is the majority of our business.
Well, I want to ask you about the artists, because it's probably not a unique business model, but you have a lot of different artists. Are there, I mean, what's it take to get in here if you're an aspiring artist?
That is the most commonly asked question. We get that a lot. I think, you know, what you have to do is you have to just pretty much email me and submit some photos and whatnot. Oh, that's my dad.
I know. He just walked in the door.
Kelly McKnight is here in the house. But yeah, basically you just have to submit like some photos to me and in like a website if you have one, and that's how I kind of pick them. It's all curated. I also go to a lot of shows. I go to a lot of art openings for college students and whatnot because I'm always trying to find like up and coming artists.
And there's Major.
That's Major.
How many different artists are represented here?
We have over 115. We just did a count a couple weeks ago. And we have over 115 artists, and that's the latest count.
Well, look who just walked in the door.
Hello,
Kelly McKnight,
Kelly.
One of my favorite people in the world. Kelly, I'm running out of people in your family to have on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Well, you can always get me on your Rusty. I can always fill a couple hours with BS. You know that.
I think so. I think that would be a plan for the future. So how you doing?
I'm doing great. You're looking good.
Well, you know. Had a good weekend.
You had a good weekend? I've been following your Facebook. You seem like you've been having exciting times here.
Well, it's an exciting
and
world.
And of course on the radio and on the...
Yeah, you're taking up most time here.
Okay.
But
yeah.
I'll catch up with you here in just a second. But, Mo, tell me about this event this weekend. This is... You're having an anniversary event, right?
Yeah, we're having our big 5-year anniversary, and it's going to be really fun. It's just going to be like a big celebration. So all week we're doing discounts, which we never do, leading up to the celebration. And then Saturday we're opening a new show with our first ever artist that we had showing in here, Mike Madak. And then we'll have like cupcakes and like champagne.
Okay, cupcakes.
Yeah, cupcakes and champagne. And we're going to be doing some really fun art projects outside on the street, and we're going to have a DJ, so it's just going to be a big night of celebration.
Okay, okay. Well, let's go up. I just had an idea. Let's go look at something.
Yeah.
And give me an idea of the price range for people that don't know anything, maybe haven't been down here. You can find some stuff really inexpensive here. Right?
Yeah, that was kind of the point of Revelry, is like I wanted to be able to go to an art gallery and actually afford the art, which is something I wasn't able to do, you know, growing up or even now in a lot of art galleries.
Right.
So I try to, like, that's why the boutique is here, because it's like you can get original pieces that are handmade by an artist for $20 if you want, or you can buy like a $3,000 oil painting, like if you are, you know, really want to start seriously collecting. But I feel like everyone should start collecting, and you can do that at a young age with not a lot of money.
Right.
So that's why we have the boutique. That's why we have the print room, all handmade screen prints by local screen print artists that are all, you know, $30 and under.
Okay.
And
I was looking at these things, which I think they're cool because they're all about icons of Louisville, right? And
right.
Tell me the story behind these. These are like, you tell me what you call them. Coasters?
Yeah, these are coasters. These are tile coasters. They're by Dana Rochelle. She's an awesome artist. She started out as a photographer, and as any photographer knows, it's hard to make a buck off of your art. So she started putting her photos on tile coasters. And they've just taken off. People love coasters. It's probably like one of our number one selling items here at Revelry.
Right, only $10 each. You see things like the Toy Tiger, which no longer exists. So there's some charm to that. And you got jewelry.
Yeah, we have probably about 18 different jewelry artists in here. And we hand select jewelry from each of them. So, yeah, it's literally something for everyone. It's gifts, it's art, it's anything that's, you know, handmade here in Louisville or surrounding areas, we sell here.
Wow. Well, it's very cool. So, got to wrap it up here, but when do I come and get a cupcake?
Come get a cupcake Saturday night, 7 to 10 p.m. We'll have the music blaring. We'll have cupcakes all around. And, yeah, celebrate, you know, Revelry, being here for 5 years.
There's a lot of people here anyway in Nulu, right? You must really do well on the trolley hops. And
yeah. Oh, it's hopping. It's hopping, that's for sure. First Fridays are definitely hopping. And
beer store next door. That's,
yeah, love having the beer store. Love having these two new restaurants opening next door. Galaxy just opened in the Green Building. And we got a little surprise place opening next door that I can't really talk
about.
We're
okay with the scoop on the Rusty Satellite Show. We're happy to hear that.
I can't give you the scoop. Just know it's going to be an amazing, awesome, delicious restaurant right next door in the old Taco Punk building.
Okay. Well, we got a little bit of news finally out of you, Mo. Anyway, thanks again for being on the show, and we'll see you Saturday.
All right. Thank you so much.
And there you go. I encourage you to get down there to the Revelry Gallery this weekend in Nulu. It should be a great time. A lot of stuff going on, live music. It's always fun down there in Nulu. I tell you, for people who haven't been down there and just walked around and hung around, my favorite place down there, I think, is DECA, the basement bar there. But my friend Mike Maloney, who's been on the show, is, you know, he lives right across the street on Market Street. He's been telling me for years he's going to open up a bar there. And there's some progress over there. I was down there this week. It looked like maybe some day soon that thing will open up. It's always exciting about new things opening up in Louisville. The Gaslight Festival is coming up out here in J-Town, right down the street from me. There's a brew pub that's under construction. I go by there every day. I see plumbing trucks and all sorts of trucks down there trying to get that place ready. I haven't talked to the organizers there, but I hope they're going to be open before the Gaslight Festival starts. It's a big deal. 10,000 people up and down Watterson Trail. You're welcome to come by my house. It's walking distance from there. Like I'll be home. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff coming up in the very near future. Next week, we're going to, you know, I kind of make a big deal. It's my birthday next Friday, so that's going to be a big deal. My son is having me over for dinner. My son Josh, who you've met and heard about on the show, he's going to be on the show sometime before he gets married in October. I had a little bit of it's sad but very happy moment. My son Nick, also known as Nike, left town last week. He's back today, Wednesday. He flew out of New York, headed for Italy. I'm afraid I won't see him in America for a couple of years. I'm hoping to go there on vacation next summer to Italy. Wouldn't that be fun? All right, one story I didn't get to in the middle part of the story. Former Rusty Satellite guest Wayne Estopinall and Amanda Duffy of the Louisville City FC Soccer Club. Man, they are, that is a big success for this town. And there's a big story in the Courier Journal. I encourage you to go take a look. It's about an expansion into the Major League Soccer. I mean, Louisville could finally be a Major League city, and who would have guessed it would have been in soccer? But that's the possibility. The Louisville City FC team, they're looking for a place to build a stadium. If you go back and listen to that show, Wayne was talking about that. Amanda was talking about that. That seems to be a big goal for that group. So Major League Soccer could happen right here in Louisville. So anyway, it's time to wrap it up here. I want to tell you a little bit about LouisvilleKY.com. If you go there, Jackie Bentley has some great stuff. She's got a new gardening post up. I encourage you to read that if you're into gardening. Jackie's got some great stuff you'll want to read. I want to thank my photographer, Bill Breimer. If you go on Facebook, there is a video clip of the Rick Sanders interview this week that Bill put together for me, and we're going to try to do more of that in the future on the Rusty Satellite Show. It's a video. It's the thing. It's the way this little media operation needs to grow, and video may be the way to do it. We'll see how that goes. But if you want to see some of Rick Sanders' answers about stuff like race relations and body cameras, check it out on Facebook and on LouisvilleKY.com. If you know, I send out a newsletter every week to about 2,000 folks. If you want to sign up for the newsletter, there's a place to do that on LouisvilleKY.com. I want to thank my sponsors, Passport Health Plans, who's been with me from the very beginning, is a great sponsor, as well as Snelling Staffing, where my lovely girlfriend Paula works, and they have some great jobs for you if you're interested in finding some employment. So that's what it's all about here at the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks for staying with me and listening to the show, and please talk it up to your friends. The Rusty Satellite Podcast is heard every week for now 111 consecutive weeks on the Louisville.am network, and you can get it on iTunes, and it is on Stitcher, and it is on the website RustySatelliteShow.com. Encourage you to tune in, listen every week. If you got a suggestion for me, please send it along to Rick@LouisvilleKY.com. And until we meet again, and I'll be back next week with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is Rick Redding, signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Airplanes into buildings every time.